John chapter 1 in our Bibles, and I want to share with you something very special that the Lord laid on my heart this week that I wanted to begin the Christmas season by speaking to you about. And it's in John chapter number 1. Now, as has been the case with many of our recent Sunday morning services and Sunday morning messages, this is not the only place in Scripture where we will go. So there are going to be other passages of Scripture where we're going to take you today. So if you would please keep your Bible open, keep it real close to you, keep it real near. And I would encourage you just to find your way through the Bible to these different passages that we're going to look up this morning, because there's going to be several of them today that are going to help to relay this truth to you. And the thought that the Lord put on my mind this morning and in my heart as I was studying and preparing for this Sunday, and laid this, I believe, specifically on my heart for this Sunday morning, is this thought, and we're going to challenge you from the Bible with this today. What was required of Jesus in order for him to leave heaven to come to earth? What requirements would we say were true of Jesus in order for him to leave the glories of heaven and be willing to come? We say that statement a lot. We say that at this time of year, we're celebrating the fact that Jesus left the glories of heaven and he came down here to this earth and joined humanity and joined sinful men and came to a sinful world so that he could die for us. Well, the Lord again this week started challenging me with this thought and opened the Scripture. We're going to look at it today. What was required of Jesus so that he could take on humanity and leave heaven to come down to earth to be our sacrifice? I want you to look at John chapter number 1, because before we even talk about what was required of Jesus to leave heaven for earth, we want to first establish in Scripture that Jesus, from the very beginning of time, was in heaven with God the Father. So we have to understand that first. We would have to answer the question, where was Jesus before he even came to earth? So before we would say that we're going to celebrate this Christmas day and the birth of our Savior, where was he before he was born, before he was placed into that manger? Well, there are several passages of Scripture that teach us about that. We're going to start here in John chapter number 1. And so we'll establish where Jesus was. He was in heaven. But then we're going to notice what was required of him to come and leave heaven to come to earth. Look at John chapter 1, if you would, and look at verse number 1. The Bible says this, in the beginning, okay, so from the very beginning, the Bible says, was the Word. Now, the Word there in this verse in John chapter number 1 is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Word. Now, we've got the written Word in our hands today. That's the Bible. But Jesus is the living Word. And so the Bible describes him as the Word. So in the beginning, the Bible says, was the Word. And by the way, you'll notice in your Bible as well that that word, Word, is capitalized, isn't it? It's referring to the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. So from the very beginning, there was no start to Jesus. There was no start to God. It was from the very beginning, the Bible says, was the Word. Now watch this. And the Word was with God. Now, the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, and we're going to get there in just a minute, that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, right? So in the very beginning of time, God created everything. God was able to create everything because there was no starting point to God, right? He always existed. He'll never have a beginning point and he'll never have an ending point. God has always existed. And so from the very beginning of time, always existing, God in heaven, and the Bible tells us the Word, Jesus, from the beginning, always existed, and he was with God in heaven. But then notice what the Bible says here. And the Word was God. Now it gets good, doesn't it? Because not only does the Bible say in the beginning was the Word, we established that from the very beginning, God, Jesus was, and then he was with God in heaven, but the Bible tells us this, the Word was God. So Jesus is God, right? And we understand that when we think about, as the Bible refers to the Trinity, the God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit and the person of God in those three distinct and different parts, God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So he was God. Now watch this, verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. Now watch this, verse 3. Oh, this is a powerful verse. All things were made by him. Now, who's him there? That's Jesus, because remember, we're talking about Jesus, aren't we? In the beginning was the Word. We're talking about Jesus. He was the Word. So all things were made by Him. All things were made by Christ, right? He was the creator of all things. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, John 1, verse 1 through 3 establishes the fact that in the beginning, Jesus always was. He was with God, and He was God. And so He and God always, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, always existing, there, dwelling in heaven. Now look with me, if you would, at verse 10. It says this, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. So the Bible tells there was a time where Jesus was in the world, right? And the Bible tells this same world that He was in, that He came to live in and dwell in, was the same world that He had made. And this is powerful, isn't it? He was in the world, and He was the one that made the world, but the Bible says the world knew Him not. Now look down, if you would, at verse 14. John chapter 1 here again, verse number 14. The Bible says, and the Word, that's Jesus again now, again capitalized in your Bible there, and the Word, the living Word, Jesus, was made flesh. Now, if He became human for us, that means that He was dwelling somewhere else before that, right? He was made flesh, so before dwelling with us, He was there in the glories of heaven, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So here now is the verse of Scripture that speaks of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He took on human flesh, left heaven, and came to earth for us. Now notice this, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, and then it says, full of grace and truth. Now in John chapter number 1, it talks to us about the existence of our Savior Jesus, always existing, dwelling in heaven with God. The Bible tells also that Jesus, God the Son, was part of creation, right? Turn with me, if you would, in your Bible to Genesis chapter 1 for a moment. Genesis chapter 1 in our Bibles. And I want us to notice how the Bible speaks of Jesus from the very beginning being part of creation. As God, Jesus as God, part of creation. Again, because He's part of creation, it lets us know that He always existed. He did not have a beginning point. So look at Genesis chapter 1. We already quoted verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, there's something special about verse number 26. Would you look down at verse number 26 in Genesis chapter number 1? If you put your eyes on the scripture there, if you have it in front of you, Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 26. This verse is going to be our way of recognizing the Trinity at creation. The fact that the Trinity was part of creation. So we would never be able to say that just God the Father was part of creation, but no, the entire Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1, and God said, let us. God is talking about He as God the Father as God, but with those three parts, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image. After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. The idea here is that Jesus, as God, was part of creation at the very beginning of time. So if anybody would ever try to convince us, well, Jesus only existed when He came as a baby. That was His starting point. That would be completely contrary to the Bible. We see that in John chapter 1. We see Jesus' part with creation as well. And by the way, we saw His part with creation in John chapter 1 as well, where the Bible says and that He's created all things, and by Him all things consist. Look with me, if you would, at one more passage in the New Testament that teaches us that. Look at Colossians chapter 1 for a moment. Colossians chapter 1, and look with me, if you would, at verse number 14. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 14. The Bible says this. Now we're speaking of Jesus here. In whom, Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now that's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, right? We have forgiveness through His blood, the blood that Jesus shed on the cross for us, and He is able to give us forgiveness of our sins. Now let's move on. Verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Now, did you notice who the Bible says all things were created by? They were created by the one that we are speaking about here that gives us redemption and the forgiveness of our sins. That is Jesus Christ. God the Son, Jesus Christ. All things were created by him, which means he always existed, right? Part of creation. And then notice as a side thought here, it's not what we're talking about this morning, but it's powerful. They weren't just created by him, but they were created for him. So because we've been created by God, we are created by him and we are also created for him, aren't we? Which means we are created for the purpose of giving him honor and glory. He deserves it, doesn't he? And so we're created for the purpose of bringing honor and glory to the Lord. So if you ever ask the question, why am I here? What's the reason why God has put me here? The reason why he's put you here is to bring honor and glory to him and to live a life that is pleasing to him and lifts him up and exalts him and magnifies him. That's why you've been created. And by the way, that's why everything has been created, to bring honor and glory to the Lord. But let's move on. Verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So how does everything continue to operate the way that it's supposed to operate? Because we have a God who not only has created everything, but he keeps everything going exactly the way it's supposed to go. Isn't that great? To think about the fact that he has, again, we think about what we announced here just a minute ago, about the fact that you were in your mother's womb and God formed you in the exact way that he would have you to be formed. Your mother gave birth to you. God's made it. By him all things consist, and it's created by him and it's created for him. So this is establishing the fact that Jesus has always existed. He was with God. He was even part of creation, but then he came to earth, didn't he? And the Bible tells us after having no beginning point at all, he was in the glories of heaven with God, and the Bible tells us there was a starting point for him in his humanity. And the Bible tells us that was when he left heaven, and came down here to earth. Would you look really quickly at one verse? And I know there's many verses we could look at, but look at Luke chapter 2 for a moment. Luke chapter 2, there's many verses that we could look at to talk to you about Jesus coming here to earth. But Luke chapter number 2 is certainly a very powerful one that lets us know the truth of what Jesus did. So Luke chapter 2 and verse number 11, the Bible tells us that an angel has come and he has visited a virgin whose name was Mary. And by the way, I hope you'll be here tonight at the 6 o'clock service. The Lord has laid a message on my heart that I'm going to preach tonight about the virgin birth. And it's a special thought tonight. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I hope you'll be able to be here and you'll be a part of that tonight at 6 o'clock. But there was a virgin that an angel came to and said, you're going to give birth to not just any son at all. You're going to give birth to Jesus. He's going to be the Savior of the world. And what he told Mary, what that angel told Mary was going to happen is exactly what happened, right? Luke chapter 2 and verse number 11, the Bible tells us that Jesus left heaven and he came to earth. It says this, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And we know that took place in that city called Bethlehem. My family and I had a chance to travel for the last few days, and we went to Ohio to be able to see my wife's grandparents. And we were coming back on our trip, and we passed by the city of Bethlehem, Ohio. My girls thought that was the greatest thing. Man, we're in the city of Bethlehem, they said. And I don't know if they just weren't putting it together, but they thought, man, here's Bethlehem. This is where the Bible tells us Jesus was born. And we had to talk to them a little bit about that. But man, they were excited about that. Jesus born in Bethlehem, leaving heaven and coming to this earth for us. So here's what I want to talk about today. And I want to give you three thoughts this morning that I hope will be a blessing to you as we think about what it required of Jesus to leave heaven to come down here to this earth. The greatness. This is what I want you to contemplate this morning. This is what I want you to really try to wrap your mind and your thoughts around this morning during the message time. That the greatness of the sacrifice of Jesus is found in what he left and what he was willing to become for us. He left the glories of heaven. Again, I know we say it so often at Christmas, but would you consider it this morning? that he left the glories of heaven. There's a song that's written. It says, out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe. Jesus left the splendor and the beauty and the presence of Almighty God right there in heaven. And the greatness of what Jesus did really is found in what he left and what he became as he became humanity for us. He was God. He was God. And when he was on earth, he still was God. But yet he became man in flesh and had to bear the burdens of the flesh just like you and I do. So what was required of him? I'm going to give you three thoughts this morning. I hope you'll contemplate all of these and maybe perhaps even make some applications in your life this morning. This is the thought the Lord gave me for this morning. Number one, what was required of Jesus to leave heaven to come down to earth? Number one, it required willingness. It required willingness. You say, well, that was God's plan, so wasn't it something that Jesus just had to do? No, he willingly came to this earth. To come from heaven, to be born as a baby, to die on the cross, he willingly did it. Aren't you thankful? Nobody had to force him to do it. He willingly did it. And then when he went to the cross, he willingly laid down his life on that cross as well. Now, I have some verses I'd like to share with each of these thoughts this morning that the Lord's put on my heart. Look with me, if you would, at 2 Corinthians for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I want us to look at verse number 9. Now, you want to talk about a good Christmas Bible verse. Now, this is a good Christmas Bible verse. There's a lot of good Christmas Bible verses in the Scripture. But this would be one of the powerful ones. This would be one of the ones that you would say, wow, what a Christmas Bible verse. Look at what the Bible tells us Jesus did. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9. The Bible says this, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, let's pause just a minute and thank God for his grace, right? His unmerited favor, the fact that he was willing to come to this earth and do something for us that we could not do for ourselves, and we didn't deserve it either. But yet Christ in his grace willingly left heaven so that by his grace he could die for us and he could save us and give us the opportunity to trust Christ as our Savior. Look at what it says. It says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich... You say, what's it talking about there? It's talking about the riches of heaven. Though he was rich, he was dwelling with God in the glories of heaven. But though he was rich, watch this now, yet for your sakes. What is the Bible trying to teach us here? It's trying to teach us that Jesus did what he did willingly, but he did it for you and for me. For our sakes, the Bible says, he became poor. You say, what do you mean by that? He became poor. Well, Jesus came down here and again took on human flesh, had to be in the presence of sin, leave the presence of a perfect place in heaven by the presence of Almighty God and come down here into a world of sin. He had to take on again that human flesh with the infirmities that go along with it and the weaknesses that go along with human flesh and become poor for us. Think about how think about even his birth, how he was born in a stable, placed in a manger. Not the royalty of any king, but instead he was placed in that manger, in that stable, and he became poor, watch this, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. Now, I don't know if you're reading it the same way I'm reading it, but that doesn't sound like a fair trade to me, does it? It doesn't sound like a fair trade that he would be willing in the riches of heaven to leave those riches and come down here to be poor so that because of his poverty, I could become rich. Now, I'm not talking about money rich, because we can gain the whole world and yet lose our own soul. So we're not talking about money rich. We're talking about we can be spiritually rich because we can have a relationship with Almighty God. Remember, that was his plan, to come down here to earth so that he could die for us. So he willingly left this realm in heaven of all power and all knowledge and all presence to be able to come to this world again with its weaknesses and its woes and its failures and its shortcomings. Look at another passage of Scripture with me, if you would. Look at the book of Hebrews for a moment. Hebrews chapter 2, and we're going to try to quickly read through a few verses and kind of dissect what the Bible is teaching us here about the willingness of our Savior to come and to take on human flesh for us. Hebrews chapter 2, and would you look quickly at verse number 14. It says this, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." So just as we are flesh and blood, Jesus took on human flesh and was made flesh and blood for us, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Man, I tell you, we could just stay at that verse and be able to have just a rejoicing time for a few moments here, right? That he left heaven, he came down to us for us so that he could defeat the devil. He could defeat sin. By the way, he, in his death and his burial and his resurrection, has victory over death and hell and sin and the grave and the devil. We're rejoicing in that today, aren't we? All because he was willing to take on flesh and blood for us. Now notice this, verse 15. "And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham." So it wasn't the nature of angels that he took on, but instead it was the nature of a human, right? Human flesh, human blood that Jesus took on for us. Look at verse 17. "Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Man, that's a powerful verse. Here's the idea here. In verse number 17, it tells us that he did all of this so that he could be our merciful and our faithful high priest. Man, that's some powerful words there to describe our Savior, isn't it? He's merciful and he's faithful. When we think about the mercy of God, we already talked about the grace of God, didn't we? We think about the mercy of God. He withholds from us that which we do deserve. We deserve to die and be separated from God for all of eternity. But because he was willing to come, he came so that he could be our merciful and he could be our faithful. We understand what the word faithful means. God is a faithful God, isn't he? He came so that he could be merciful and he could be a faithful high priest. You know, the Bible talks about that a couple chapters over here in Hebrews chapter 4. It talks about how that he became our high priest. And he was not, the Bible says he was touched with the feelings of our infirmities and he understood what it was to go through the things that we go through here in human flesh. And that's why he's able to be our high priest now. And he's able to intercede for us. He did all of this for you and for me, didn't he? And he willingly did it. Look at verse number 18, if you would, in this chapter that we're reading. "For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." He's able to come along beside us and give us aid and help in the time of need. Why? Because he took on human flesh just like you and I have taken on. So number one, what did it require for Jesus to be able to leave heaven and come to this earth? Number one, it required willingness. But the second thought I wanted to give you this morning was this. It didn't just require Jesus' willingness to leave heaven and come to earth. It also required humbleness. It required humbleness. Jesus had to be humble in order to leave heaven and come to earth. Again, we could go back to the statement we made about willingness. Well, wait a minute. He's Jesus. He knew what God's plan was. I mean, doesn't it just go without saying that he's going to be humble? No, he had to make a choice to be humble, to willingly, in humility, leave heaven and come down here to this earth. Now, let's notice what the Bible says in the book of Philippians. Look at Philippians chapter 2, if you would, for a moment. Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to start reading in verse number 5. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. The Bible says this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." All right, so he's going to introduce us to the mindset of Jesus for a moment. All right, what was the mind of Jesus like? Well, the Bible says in verse number 6, watch this, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." You say, what does all of that mean there in verse number 6? What does it mean, especially that word robbery there, when it talked about thought it not robbery to be equal with God? Well, the Bible's teaching us here in verse number 6 that Jesus in As God in heaven was willing to let heaven go, willing to let the glories and being in the presence of God, he was willing to let that go. He didn't feel like he had to hold on to that, but in humbleness, he was willing to let it go so that he could come down here to earth and be willing and willingly die on the cross for us. See, here's the problem with the difference between humility and pride. See, when we are humble, we could put this together in our terms today. When we are humble, we are willing at times to let things go, maybe even perhaps to let somebody else have their way. But in pride, what do we want? We want to hold on to it, don't we? And we want to say, this is the decision I've made and I'm not going to change, or this is all about me and I'm not going to give anything up. But Jesus said, it's not all about me. It's not all about the glories of heaven. It's not all about being in the presence of Almighty God. I'm willing to let that go. I don't need to hold on to it. But I'm going to come down here to earth in humility so that I can die for the sins of the world, because he knew that we needed it, didn't he? He was humble enough to know that we needed a sacrifice. Look at verse number 7 if you would. But he made himself of no reputation. Now here we go. And took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Now I know that you already understand this, but when we apply humility to our life, it's a wonderful picture of really what a servant is, right? When we're willing to be humble. Because that's what a servant has to do, don't they? A servant has to say, you are my master. I am just the servant. I'm the slave. And I'm willing to do whatever it is that you ask me to do. See, that's what Jesus had to do. He had to take upon him the form of a servant. He had to have humbleness in order to leave heaven to come down here to earth for us. So by coming to earth as a human, Jesus took on limitations, didn't he? He had certain limitations that were true because of him being a human. Now, I understand he was 100% God at the same time, but as a human, there were certain limitations. There were certain weaknesses. We don't have to read the Bible too far to know that. Because Jesus was human here on earth, he took on basic human needs, didn't he? As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Luke chapter number 2, this was shortly after the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible talks about how that even as a young boy, he is growing. And the Bible says he increased, you might remember the verse, Luke chapter 2, verse 52, he increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. So what does that tell us about Jesus as a human? That means he's growing just like anybody else, right? Just like any other child that is born on this earth, Jesus grew just like any other child would grow. So he increased in wisdom. That means that he's getting to a place where he's increasing mentally. Then the Bible says he increased in stature. That means he's growing physically. Just like any child would grow physically and mentally, Jesus did that. And then he grew in favor with God and in favor with man. So he was growing spiritually, just like any of us do as we get closer to God, right? And then he's growing in favor with man, meaning he's growing socially, just like you and I grow socially, and we take those steps of growth. Jesus was willing to do that for us. Then there were times where he needed food. There were times that he needed rest. There were times that he needed warmth and shelter. And the Bible even tells us of times where Jesus would even weep. Just like the emotions that we have as a human being, Jesus would weep. Now, can I say this? And I understand that it goes without saying because we already understand this to be true of heaven. But in heaven, there were no such needs. He didn't have to have the need of being fed. He didn't have to have the worries of those emotions of weeping and needing rest and needing shelter like he needed while he was here on earth. On earth, he hungered. On earth, he had times where he thirsted. On earth, there was weariness and there was physical pain. Would you picture with me the nails that went through his hands and the nails that went through his feet as he was human flesh for us? The crown of thorns that was pushed deep down into his brow. How about that whip? That whip for the Roman soldiers that went across his back over and over and over again. The physical pain and the suffering he faced as a human being leaving heaven to come down here to earth. And I think that you and I would both be able to agree it required humbleness to do that. To leave heaven, to be willing to take on those physical limitations and weaknesses so that he could come to this earth and knowingly die on that cross for you and for me. So number one, God spoke to my heart this week and he said this. Just because, or what did it require Jesus to leave heaven and come down here to earth, it required that he would be willing. And then number two, we said it required humbleness. But the last thing I want you to notice is this. This is the only way he would have been able to be the sacrifice for us. It required, number three, it required righteousness. It required righteousness. So number one, he had to be willing, and Jesus was willing. Number two, he had to be humble, and Jesus was humble. But in order to die and to shed blood that would be able to be the forgiveness for all mankind, also it required righteousness. I want us to look at a few verses here as we close this morning. Look at Luke chapter 1 with me today. Luke chapter 1 for a moment. And I want us to look at verse number 31. Luke chapter 1. And again, look with me if you would at verse 31. The Bible says in Luke 1 verse 31, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb." This is the angel giving the message to Mary that you're going to have a baby. "And bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Now, why is he called Jesus? Because he's going to be a Savior, right? He's going to save people from their sins. Verse 34, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" I've never been with a man. I've never had that relationship with a man. I'm not married yet to Joseph. We're just espoused to be married. So how is this going to be true? The Bible says in verse 35, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Now, I don't want to go into this verse too much because I'm going to preach about it tonight, about the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus had to be born of a virgin in order to die for us. He could not have a human father, because if that was the case, he would have had a sin nature just like you have and just like I have. So it required righteousness. And so God had a plan the whole time. How is someone going to come to this earth as a human and take on human flesh and be able to be sinless if everybody has sin that is passed on to them from their human father that we call a sin nature? Well, God had a plan, didn't he? And he said, this virgin is going to give birth because the Holy Ghost is going to conceive in her womb. Unlike any other birth in history, Jesus was going to come born of a virgin. He was going to be sinless because of that. No sin nature, but instead the righteousness of our Savior. Now, a couple more verses. Would you look at 2 Corinthians? Because what a powerful verse we have here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, the Bible says this, "For he hath made him to be sin for us." Now that he there at the start of the verse is God. So God hath made him, that's Jesus. So God made Jesus to be sin for us. Now watch this, who knew no sin. Who knew no sin? Well, Jesus knew no sin. He had never sinned. He never did sin. He never will sin. He doesn't have a sin nature like you and I do. And so he knew no sin, watch this, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Again, just like we said about 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9, doesn't sound like a fair trade, does it? That he would take off his robe of righteousness, and he would put that robe of righteousness on us, and he would take that old sinful human nature that we have. And on that cross, even though he wasn't a sinner, he would have to face the punishment of our sin, your sin, my sin, on him as he died on that cross so that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. He had to be righteous when he left heaven to come to earth. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 1 for a moment. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 18 and then verse number 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and verse number 19, it says this, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." Man, there's a lot of power in that verse. Number one, he's saying you can't get to heaven just because of your good works. He says, number two, you can't get to heaven just because maybe somebody that you know has trusted Christ and they're going to pass it on to you. No, it's got to be a personal thing, right? So you can't come that way. So what is the way that you can have a guarantee of heaven? Well, look at what the Bible says in verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. See, what did it require Jesus to leave heaven to come to this earth? It required righteousness. He had to be a lamb without spot and without blemish so that he could die for sinful men and women and children, so that he could sacrifice himself sinlessly, so that we as sinners could have the opportunity to receive him as Savior. One more verse and we'll finish with this. 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter 3, and look down at verse number 5. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5, the Bible says this, "And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." Jesus was manifested, or Jesus was made known here on earth, left heaven, to come down here to earth. To do what? To take away our sins. And according to the end of the verse, the only reason he could do that, because in him was no sin. So what does the Bible teach us was required of the Lord Jesus Christ to leave heaven? Like we say so often, he left heaven and he came to earth for us. What was required of him? Number one, willingness. He had to be willing to do it. Number two, we said it required humbleness. He had to be willing to take upon himself the form of a servant and be humble enough to let go of what he had there in glory, not to have to hold on to it, but to let go of it so he could come to earth. And what was the third requirement? There had to be righteousness. He had to be without sin. Now, I want to leave you with a thought, and then I want to try to make an application, and we'll close this message. The thought today is this, and I really want you to think about this. What does the Bible say in John 3, verse 16? For God so loved the world that he gave. I'm going to give you a thought, and I want you to think about this. The love of Jesus, and I hope we saw this today in the message, the love of Jesus is not only defined by what he gave, but I think the love of Jesus is also defined by what he gave up so that he could come to earth to die for us. Would you consider the fact that Jesus gave up heaven so that he could give himself for us? So let's define God's love not only by what he gave, but by what he gave up. There's a couple applications today that God encouraged my heart with as I was preparing this. Number one, if Jesus was willing to do this and leave heaven to come down here to earth for you, have you accepted his sacrifice for your salvation? Has there been a time where you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? That is the greatest question we could ask today. By the way, it requires an answer. Have you accepted his sacrifice? It's either a yes or a no. And if you say, well, I'm not even really concerned about it, then your answer is no. Is it a yes or is it a no today? Have you accepted his sacrifice? You say, I don't know that there's ever been a time that I've done that. Well, the Bible tells you that how you can know that. He was willing to leave heaven for you. Have you accepted that sacrifice? If you haven't, you've got to get to a place where you realize you're a sinner. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You've got to get to a place where you realize your sin comes with a punishment. For the wages of sin is death. And after we've realized that the news of the fact that we're a sinner and that our sin requires a punishment, which, by the way, we cannot pay the price of that punishment for ourselves. And that's where God comes in. He loved us so much that he willingly came to this earth to die for us because he knew that was the only way that the price of our sin could be paid. And he left heaven, he came down here to this earth, and he died for us. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says at the end of that verse, I just started quoting, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life is a gift that you've got to receive. And you say, well, how do I receive that gift? The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't think there's any gray lines or areas in that verse at all. You call upon him, and the Bible says you shall be saved. You don't have to say, I might be saved, or I hope so. I hope I'm okay when it comes to eternity. No, you can know for sure if you've accepted that sacrifice. So if you're lost in here today, the question for you by way of truth or application in your life is, have you accepted the sacrifice that Jesus, again, willingly left heaven to come and to pay for you? But then the thought for those that are Christians here today, if you say, I can go back to a time and a place where I've trusted Christ as Savior, here's the application for us today. If we are thinking about the three requirements of our Savior to come down here to this earth so that He could leave heaven and come to this earth for us, how are you doing in your life when it comes to those areas? How about your willingness? How about your willingness? If He was willing to do all that He did for you, are you willing to give your life for Him? Are you willing to serve Him? You know, the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Which means if Jesus was willing to do all of that for you, it is only right that we willingly give of ourselves to Him. How about your willingness today? Are you willing to do all that God would have for you to do? Or have you said no to the Savior from time to time? Is there something that He might be speaking to your heart about even right now? And you say, I've just said no, I've pushed Him away. But today I just want to be willing to say, God, I'll do whatever it is that you'd have for me to do because I saw how you were willing to do what you did for me. And then how about our humbleness? Obviously the opposite of humility is pride. Are we living in pride or are we living in humility? Can I say the greatest example that you will ever find is found right here in the pages of Scripture with our Savior. His humbleness. How He took on the form of a servant. Are you willing to be a servant for your Savior today? Are you willing to say, I'm willing to humble myself and give up my pride at times to do and to be what God wants me to be as a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a mother, as a Christian, as a son or a daughter, or whatever role that you have? God, I'm just willing to be a servant of yours, and I'm going to humble myself and say yes to you in that area. And then maybe we could consider the righteousness of our Savior. I said this morning in our starting point class that the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter that we are to be holy for He is holy. But when we define that word holiness, when we think about our Savior, we usually use the term holiness describing Jesus as the fact that He was perfect in every way. And we might say, well, wait a minute, I'm looking at the righteousness of God and there's no way I can say that I can live righteous in that way. No, but we could be more like Jesus every day. We can grow to become more like Him every day, and maybe there's something in your life where you would say, you know, I'm not truly living in righteousness right now. There's some things in my life that are standing in the way or hindering me from living in complete righteousness so that I can be close to my Savior and be more like Him. Maybe those are areas that you need to confess today. And you need to deal with those today as we think about what was required of Jesus to leave heaven, applying it to our lives, and then making sure that we've accepted this sacrifice because of what He was willing to do to come to this earth and to sacrifice Himself for us. Father, I thank You today for the truths from the Word of God.